Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody today. It is Monday, and that means I'm riding solo to answer your guys' iTunes questions. Remember, the best way to get your questions asked or answered on the show is to put them in the form of a 5-star review, and I promise I will get to them. We have quite a few because of the weird schedules and stuff, we haven't really been able to get to the mailbag as much. Last time we did this, I left off at where I thought the Dodgers were going in the playoffs. I said I don't trust these Dodgers, and they made it to the World Series. So I continue to be an idiot. How about that? Today's show, though, we're going to talk about a lot, it seems like, about the front court. We're going to talk about the game, the games that we've seen thus far. I'll obviously touch on the fight and suspensions and all of that. So we have a really fun show ahead of us. Today's show is going to be brought to you by Mizuma and by Vivid Seats. More on those guys in a bit. Let's start with these questions, though. So this first question comes from Huli_O. How would the Lakers' front court rotation look like if they had re-signed Brook Lopez to a one-year deal instead of Lance Stephenson? McGee to start and Lopez off the bench. How would you divide the minutes one through four quarters? Would Lopez slow the game down too much? Lopez would play best next to what lineup? So basically, you know, you guys get the general vibe here. How would it look with Brook Lopez? And this is a point that I've made a couple times in talking to people, either off the air, I've said it a couple times on the air, but look, Brook Lopez was never really an option for the Lakers. I don't think, you know, he left, and while he said all of the things that you wanna hear, saying going so far as to say that he would take less to sign with the Lakers if they were competitive, well, I'm not gonna say he lied. I'm not gonna call the guy a liar, but based on what I've heard from behind the scenes and people close to either Lopez or to the Lakers, there was a sense that Brook just wasn't coming back. And that's just kind of how that worked out. He was frustrated with the inconsistent minutes last year. There was that one moment where he walked back to the locker room to collect himself and came back out on the bench and was, to his credit, professional about it. But he wasn't really pleased with how things went. And as a result, he signed, I mean, the kind of deal that he signed in Milwaukee is the exact kind of deal that the Lakers, I think, would have liked to give him as well. It was a one-year deal for, I think it was like $3 or $4 million. It was very feasible for the Lakers to offer it, but he just wasn't coming back. And we've heard now about Lopez feeling this way. Julius Randle seems to feel that same way, given how things went there. Obviously, the Lakers kind of kicked Russell out the door after the trade there and kind of kicked dirt on his grave. And it's a trend at this point that if you aren't a part of what the Lakers consider your future or their future, then you're not going to get treated in the kind of way that I think a lot of guys want to be treated. And that's not even, you know, this isn't unique to the Lakers. It might be more, that sense might be more clear with the Lakers than maybe with other organizations, but for right now, that's just kind of how it is. And you know, it's bitten the Lakers a couple times. If Julius Randle was on this team, if Brook Lopez was on this team, I legitimately feel like we'd be talking about a team that has a chance at getting to the finals, and maybe even winning the finals. I think Golden State would still be the favorite, but if Julius Randle, who I believe is averaging something like 24-14 right now through two games, coming off of the bench, if he was doing that out here, the Lakers would be. And they need rebounding, right? And they need his defense ability, and they miss that. They miss both of those things from Brook Lopez, especially coming off of the bench. And yeah, right now the center situation feels like the kind of disaster that Tyler Ennis was last year. Michael Beasley is barely playing. Ivica Zubac is not playing. Kyle Kuzma is being asked, I think, to do too much. We'll see how that, if that turns around over the course of the season, or if they just kind of cut bait on that experiment. The Lakers, Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, they this is a legitimate gripe with how they've done things in putting this team together. All right. Next question comes here from Neotitus. Well, this is a shorter question. How did you guys manage to hijack the Sedano show on October 9th? It was a good show with him. I completely agree. George is great. He is, as I've said a couple times, a friend of the show. Because he's been on a few times here. George, I've been, a little background on me, I love the Dan Le Batard show. To me, that's how sports coverage should go. They have a lot of fun with it. If there isn't anything going on with sports, they have no problem just kind of wandering and seeing what happens. I think it looks like a really fun show to work on, and it's a really fun show for me to listen to. George Sedano has a background with Dan. He comes from Miami. They have known each other for a really long time, so when I heard that George was coming out to the West Coast to have a radio show for 710. First it was in the mornings, and frankly it was a little too early for me, but you know, if there are audio clips or podcasts that I could listen to, I would listen to that. I've always really enjoyed and respected George and his work and how hard he works. So he came out here, and he was nice enough to follow, I believe he follows Silver Screen and Roll, he follows Harrison, and I believe he follows me now. And when he came out here, you know, that he made those follows, and we just kind of always DM back and forth. He said when he was putting together his show that he wanted to get all of the bloggers. He told me that he thinks that we all do a good enough job. So he asked me who I thought, you know, was who I think would be good in that kind of setting. And I said, well, I'm biased, but Harrison and Pete are about as good as anybody's doing this. And I also really think, despite him working for Lakers Nation and despite him being technically a competitor with him having a Lakers podcast, I think Trevor Lane is really good. So those are the people that I mentioned. I also was going to, we tried to get Darius in there, but obviously with some of the stuff that's been going on in his personal life that he wasn't able to make at work. So next time, hopefully he'll be able to call in and we'll get him involved in the show as well. So I think George said that he wants to do it sometime around the All-Star break. That'd be a lot of fun. And again, George, if you're listening, thanks for having us on. We're going to take a second here to pay some bills. And when we come back, I'm going to keep answering your questions. We have quite a few to go. So hang tight. Today's show is brought to you in part by Mazuma. Mazuma USA has been incredible with helping me manage my finances and the how everything, keeping the books on this show, and getting me all set up for tax season, which always comes way faster than you anticipate. Look, you go into business for yourself, you open up a small business because you love or you see an opportunity that you think you're going to love. And if you're successful, those finances can be kind of tough to watch. And, you know, that's not exactly what people have in mind when they go into business. They think, I'm going to focus on whatever it is, music or, you know, opening up a veterinarian shop. I know my in-laws have dealt with this as well. But Mazuma helps you focus on the stuff that you love by making everything as easy as possible. It starts at $75 a month. You make a call to get a free consultation to figure out what works best for you and your business. They have teams set up to work with you depending on which kind of help that you might need. So I'm going to give you a number. It is 213-947-6926. Again, it is 213-947-6926. It's a free consultation, no strings attached. You will figure out what works best for your company and your finances and all of that. Mazuma has everything that you might need. CPAs, bookkeepers, and accountants. Mazuma, your small business's one-stop shop for bookkeeping, taxes, and unlimited accounting advice. All right, let's get back to some of these questions here. This next question comes from Neotitus. Oh, no, that was the last one. The next one comes from I Am Stasmatics. A question for Anthony and Pete. It seems as though it's taken some time for Ingram to truly grasp his length and how to use it effectively, and he seems to finally be there. Do you see Lonzo having a similar learning curve with his added strength and mass, or do you anticipate a quicker adjustment for him? I think it's going to be a little quicker with Lonzo because he is just a more instinctive player. He seems to pick up the game a little bit more. And also, like, he's bigger, but his body type isn't, like, odd. And it's not an outlier weird. And Ingram's body is kind of outlier weirdish because of how long he is, because of how athletic he is. It's not something that I could see it very easily. Him finding out, like, wait, I didn't know I could do that. You'll see it once a game nowadays at this point, where Ingram will do something, and you'll, it's what? And his length or athleticism will kind of jump off the screen at you. I think it's still gonna take him a little bit, but if we're worried about this with Lonzo, I'm not particularly worried about it with him, because it's still the same body type, and it's still the typical kind of body type, and he, you know, hopefully his added strength will make him more consistent in some ways. And we've actually kind of sort of seen it with his shooting. He's shooting better than I thought he would early on in the season. Next question comes from John777 Viaje. Has the Lakers front office, Pelinka and Magic, failed to acquire enough quality big men? They could have done a better job. Beasley has looked horrible so far, and Zubats has hit his ceiling. McGee alone is not enough. I talked about this earlier, and I think this is going to be a trend until they fix it. But yeah, I think this is right up there with thinking that Tyler Ennis was capable of being the primary backup to Lonzo Ball last year. I don't think the Lakers would have made the playoffs last year, but I do think if they have like a decent backup point guard, that they would have been in the playoff conversation way later into the season, right? And I don't think that not having a center is going to cost the Lakers a playoff spot. I think eventually, and the other thing too is that because it's the center and because of the way that the NBA has evolved, it's a little bit easier to find a center, a lot easier to find a center to just kind of stick in there and hope it works out than it is to find a backup point guard. There are a few of those to go around because of how valuable they are than there are of bigs. So I think it's an issue that I think can be fixed, and hopefully it gets fixed relatively quickly, because it's just not good. And this is the last point I'll make about this, and maybe I'll ask it to Pete, but the thing that I get a little worried about here is, again, there's not much creativity going on, right? Like they looked at Zubats and because he was in front of them, and Zubats sticks around. Michael Beasley was a name, and they thought, and he had played with LeBron before, and I think this was very much a LeBron signing. So you kind of go there. The guy that they're bringing in now, that they made a two-way contract, if you look at all of their two-way contract guys at this point, the people that they've had there with two-way contracts have all been with the Lakers before. And sometimes the negative or pejorative term when you're talking about Lakers exceptionalism is when it becomes insular or insulated thinking, and you don't allow for creativity because you're just looking at what you have in front of you at all times. And, you know, I would like to see a little bit more creativity here in trying to find guys who would fit what the Lakers need there that you wouldn't necessarily see just by looking in your own backyard. I hope that makes sense. But yeah, this trend at this point of just glaring holes in the roster being carried over into the season is not great. Last year it was Tyler Ennis. This year it's with the centers. Hopefully it gets fixed. I think it can get fixed relatively quickly. Especially when we get into the buyout market and the trade season. It's really early in the season too. Maybe the guys that they have on the roster figure it out. Who knows? But it does need to get addressed at some point, and hopefully sooner rather than later. We're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to finish off these questions. We have a question here about what Ingram potentially taking another leap forward this year does to the Lakers. We have one here of Jimmy Butler and how I feel about him after all of this drama. And then the last one is about Randall. So, well-charted territory about Julius Randall. Hang tight. Today's show is brought to you in part by Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online ticket, event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. And this is something that I always harp on when it comes to Vivid Seats. Being a sports fan is about creating memories. If you were in the house, let's say in Portland, if you happen to be a Laker fan up there in Portland, and you were watching that game, and you were in the building for when LeBron dunked it in a breakaway, and then Dame dunked it heading back the other way, and then LeBron dunked it for the third dunk in a row of that really brief exchange. And even before that, JaVale ended Yusuf Nurkic's career with a crazy dunk. If you were in the building for that, you're never going to forget those moments. If you were in the building for LeBron being announced at Staples Center for the first time officially, you're never going to forget that. And hell, you're never going to forget the fight, frankly, right? Go to vividseats.com/app, enter the promo code Locked On, and receive $20 off of your first purchase of $200 or more. It's insanely easy to use. They tell you if you're getting a good deal. It's a very, very easy app. If you're going on a computer, on a desktop, or if you're using the app on your phone, either way, it's really great to use. So again, that's vividseats.com/app, or just search Vivid Seats in the iTunes App Store or the Android App Store, and enter the promo code Locked On and receive $20 off your first purchase of $200 or more. We're going to take another quick second here, and then I'm going to finish off the Monday mailbag edition of Locked On Lakers. All right, so the last question, or no, the next question I want to talk about here is whether Ingram taking a leap forward, what that does for the Lakers' future plans. Look, if Ingram becomes an all-star and he looks like he can become a perennial all-star, maybe the Lakers think differently about including him in some kind of deal for enter superstar here, right? I still though think, like, if Anthony Davis is in the conversation and you can land Anthony Davis at this stage of his career, with a decade probably plus of really good basketball ahead of him, there's nobody that should be untouchable. If Anthony Davis hit the open market and he said that he wanted to be a Laker, then I would say, look, you could take everybody that you want. I'd like to hold one or two of the rookies or younger players over so that if they improve, you can now go over the tax and sign them and you can improve your roster that way. But if New Orleans is seriously considering moving Anthony Davis, then you just go get him. That's just kind of how that works. Now, I don't know how the Lakers would top a deal for Davis compared to what the Celtics can offer, but you know, who knows? And that's kind of why you have to include just about anybody on the roster, is because there are going to be better offers out there if he hits the open market, and the Pelicans aren't going to seal themselves off from sending Davis anywhere. So it's tough. It would be a bummer to trade all of the kids away, given what we've invested in them and how much we've seen them grow. But for a guy like Davis, and if you pair Anthony Davis with LeBron, that almost immediately becomes a title contender, if not favorite. I would be willing to call them one of the favorites to win a title. One of those like two or three, maybe four teams that you can look at and say, yeah, they can win a title this year. Next question here comes from, I'm not going to read that one. McNugget 2483, does the Jimmy Butler drama lower his chances to get a max contract? And if so, what's the range you'd sign him for? I know you don't like the mileage from Tibbs. So, look, I think he's going, because so many teams are going to have cap space, he's going to get a max contract. That's basically how it's going to go for way more guys I don't know if you guys remember the summer of 2016 where everybody had a bunch of money. Well, of course you guys remember the summer of 2016. That was what led to Lou Alding and Timofey Mozgov being on the Lakers for these last couple of years, or for the extension, the time that they were on the roster. But we're going to see another situation like this. We're going to see a cap increase, I would imagine. So a lot of teams, and then most of them, if not all of the contracts that were signed back in 2016 are going to be off of teams' books. So you're going to see a whole bunch of cap space out there and teams desperate to fill it. So you're going to see some inflation in terms of the deals that go out there. And look, I wouldn't feel comfortable giving Butler a max deal. It makes me nervous. Not just the mileage that he has with having played for Tibbs in two different times, but also the stuff that he pulled. I don't really care about locker room dynamic. I think more often than not, just give me the most talented people and they're going to figure it out. But that told me that he might not be particularly self-aware in what that does to a locker room, and calling ESPN and telling him that I'm going to act a fool, and then going out there and unloading all of the team's drama out into the void. I don't think that's how you want to handle that. And the fact that he was comfortable doing that makes me a little nervous for how he's going to see his own age. Like Kobe. For everything that you want to say about Kobe, if you're a Kobe fan, you can't sit there and tell me that he aged gracefully, right? Like, I'm never coming off of the bench. I demand this many shots and this farewell tour and all these things. And I feel like we're probably going to reach that same spot with Jimmy Butler, where he's going to think to himself, oh no, I'm still Jimmy Butler, but he won't be. And I don't think, based on what we saw from him in all this drama with the Wolves, I don't think he's going to, that self-awareness is ever really going to improve. So that's why I'm kind of nervous on top of the mileage stuff that you mentioned in the question. Last one here. This is from EastKid101. Let's see. Okay, so my question is, do you see the Lakers paying all the young guys when their time comes? I know our cap situation is solid for a max level guy, but during the 2020 offseason, we would have to pay most of the young guys. Do you think we can afford all four? It's the Lakers. If the Lakers have ever felt like they can win a title, they have spent and they have gone well into the luxury tax to make that happen. So I don't think it's really a matter of, and that's really what it would come down to, is if the Lakers sign or are able to acquire a second max guy, and then would have to dip into the luxury tax to pay their young guys, then they would just do it if they thought that it would win the Lakers a title. Like, that's just always how they've operated. The one thing that I'm really strong on this stance is, and this is one of the stances that I am most adamant about, I don't care about luxury tax payments for owners. That's your damn job. Like, you are there to pay for the team and put up capital and then benefit, reap the rewards of that capital. Like, that's your sole job as an owner, is to do that. And if I hear owners complaining about luxury tax payments, well, then give me a better owner who won't care about that stuff. And you know, unfortunately, a lot of analysis when it comes to organizational aptitude, it kind of misses the point. So-and-so coaches this good, and so-and-so drafts this well, and whatever. All of that's for naught if you have a bad owner. Just look at the New York Knicks. They have every advantage that you would want to have by being in New York, by having Madison Square Garden, just like pouring money into the organization. And yet, because Dolan is so bad at what he does, because he's such a buffoon, they're just always going to be the Knicks. That's just how that's going to go. And for the Lakers, like, there was a little concern there for a bit with the Buss family. Fortunately, it seems like Jeannie is a lot more like Dr. Buss than Jim was, and is willing to kind of take a step back and allow the people that she paid to do their jobs. I think when it comes to where Laker fans should feel about the Lakers, I think there's plenty of reason for optimism there. But if I start hearing about, oh, well, those luxury tax payments are going to get kind of high, I don't care. Like, I'm the same. I'm very much this way with the Dodgers, too. You have this crazy TV deal. I don't care if you have to pay luxury tax payments. Put the best team that you can on the field, period. So that's my rant on luxury tax payments. If it comes down to it, if the Lakers have to, quote unquote, decide between certain kids or whatever because they don't want to dip too deeply into the luxury tax, I think the problems would run deeper than just the kids themselves. That'll do it, though, for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast today, brought to you by Mizuma and by Vivid Seats and others. Thank you to those of you who have supported our sponsors. That's how we keep the lights on here. So let's continue to do that. If you have questions for next week's mailbag, leave them in the comment section or leave them here on iTunes in the form of a 5-star review, and I will get to absolutely every single one of them. Thanks to those of you who sent them in this week. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll be back at it again tomorrow.